Live on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, it's time for Q&A with DJ Phone. Today's program is sponsored by Yavapai Regional Medical Center, David Snyder, CPA, High Country Rec Fee Center, Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Northern Arizona Vein Center. Now, here's your host for Q&A, DJ Phone.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of Q&A, a really packed show for you today. We're going to start out talking to our friend Jim Natal. He'll be coming in town this weekend for the Library Southwest series at Yavapai College, featuring a very esteemed mystery novelist. And we'll also talk about Jim's very own, very new book of poetry, in which case he will be a guest speaker at Peregrine Books in downtown Prescott. Also today, Tom Agostino from the Folk Sessions will be here to talk about one of the greatest folk singers of all. They're doing a tribute concert for Pete Seeger's 100th birthday. Also coming up after the news and weather break, we'll talk to Shirley and Paul Baskin about raising money, teaching nonprofits and charities how to apply for grants that keep them going. So really, really a nice mixed bag of guests today on Q&A. Hey, the Diamondbacks still in Pittsburgh. They've won the first two. They won a slugfest and they won a pitcher's duel, so they have another late afternoon game today, the first pitch at 4:05, so no talk of the town today, and then breakfast baseball tomorrow with the pregame show from Pittsburgh on KQ&A at 9 o'clock, the first pitch tomorrow from PNC Park at 9:35, and we have on the line right now, we have Mr. Jim Natal calling in from California. How you doing, Jim?
Hey, I'm fine, DJ. How are you?
It's great to have you on the air with us again. You've got a big weekend coming up. You'll be coming in not only for Joe E-Day, but also you've got a new book yourself. Tell us about both.
Oh, well, I'm very excited about it. It's my fifth poetry collection called Spare Room, and I'll be having the a reading for its Arizona debut at Peregrine Books on this Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, and everyone's invited. You know, the reading, of course, is admission free, and I hope to get to meet a lot of your listeners there.
And tell us about what kind of poetry you do. From what I understand about this, there's a big Japanese influence in this book, correct?
Correct. Yeah, my last book called 52 Views and this book Spare Room are both written entirely in a very old Japanese form called the haibun. And what that is a combination of a block of crafted prose with a commentary haiku, sometimes two, that works to have a little dialogue with the prose. So they go back and forth, and it's a really interesting form that goes back to the late 1600s, and it's attributed to haiku master Basho, who is considered the greatest haiku writer in Japanese history.
Now, in terms of the discipline of writing, when you're writing prose or short poems, or haiku for that matter, you have to maintain that structure. Now, how important is that in any other kind of writing to learn that self-discipline and that structure?
The form sometimes can be hard to deal with. I find it to be somewhat freeing in a way because I know exactly what I have to do. I think, though, this form is a little less complicated, at least on the surface, because basically I'm writing prose. Even though it's crafted prose, the main block of this is it reads like fiction or nonfiction, even though it is still poetry. But it's not a prose poem. The hard part in this form is writing the haiku. Haikus are really hard to make them good. And, of course, with Basho's example that we can never equal, and the fact that I'm not Japanese and I don't have that full cultural sensibility, that's the difficult part, but the real trick to the whole haibun form is that dialogue between the haiku and the prose. Because the haiku is not necessarily, and probably shouldn't be, a direct commentary on the prose that preceded it. Mm-hmm. It somehow has to work, and they reflect back on each other.
Jim, you're the founding director of the long-running Literary Southwest series at Yavapai College. How'd you get started doing that?
Well, it went back to when I first moved to Prescott in 2007. And at that time, Yavapai College had the Hassayampa Institute, which was a week-long writing conference, and they drew people from all over the country. That folded and was closed. I saw the actual last reading for that series when I moved to town, and I was so disappointed because Prescott at that time, and still to a certain degree, is weak on literature. It has so many other cultural things going on, music and theater and visual arts, but it didn't have much in the way of literature, and I was a little sad about that because I was coming from Los Angeles, which, of course, you can go out and listen to, you know, authors read, you know, at least once or twice or three times a week if you wanted to. And so what happened was I got hired to teach creative writing at Yavapai College, and I had a background in running literary series in Los Angeles. I did that for about 10 years. And the dean who hired me knew about my background, and they had just gotten a grant from the NEA to do something in the literary vein. So the dean, her name was Jill Fitzgerald, and still is, and she called me in and said, well, we've got this money, what can we do with it? So I said, well, we could start we talked about it, and we decided that we would use it to start a replacement literary series, one that would kind of work from the roots and branches of Hassayampa Institute, but that would be different. And what became just a one-time, one-week summer program morphed into a series that ran during the school year so that students could take advantage of it, not just people coming in from out of town. And the community could attend easier, too. And we decided on four times a year. And we still have, we've never changed from that format. It's September, November, February, and April.
And your reading and book signing will be at Peregrine Books at 4 o'clock Saturday, right?
Correct.
And the day before at 7 o'clock Friday evening at the at Yavapai College as part of the Literary Southwest series, you will be hosting your guest of honor, Joe Ide. Now, just his background alone gets me interested. He's a mystery novelist of Japanese-American descent who grew up in South Central L.A. surrounded by gangs. That alone makes me think, boy, has he got some stories to tell.
Oh, he does, and he is absolutely. I mean, he has three books, and I've read all three, and he just catches it. But the thing that's so amazing about his writing is he manages to work on so many levels. He's very funny, number one. His books have some laugh-out-loud things going on, but they're action-filled. They're very character-driven. And he also works so well with interweaving, very much like the city of L.A. and South Central, interweaving all these various cultural backgrounds and ethnicities without kind of treading over the line into, say, cultural stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
He's amazing. His characters are just real people that you could meet at Target or at Costco or someplace.
And one of those main characters is Isaiah. And one waiting around every corner for Isaiah, it seems, is Seb, who is, and get this, an Oxford-educated African-American gangster who was responsible for the death of his brother. You don't see that in every mystery novel, do you?
No, well, Seb is truly amazing because he's originally, before he went to Oxford, he was from Rwanda.
Oh.
And he was caught up in the genocide there, and that kind of was what formed his personality, shall we say. And he lost a leg; somebody hacked it off.
Oh.
And in that, and then he ended up at Oxford and ended up in South Central and became quite the successful businessman and gangster.
And Joe Ide grew up loving the Arthur Conan Doyle Sherlock Holmes stories too.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, and it shows in his main character IQ Isaiah. His last name is Quintabe, and I'm really interested to ask Joe about how he decided on this character, because he's like 20 years old. He's not a grizzled, you know, ex-cop like so many of the detective heroes. He's a young African-American guy in his early 20s. In fact, in the first book, he's younger than that. He's in his late teens. And but he's remarkable, and he's famous in the neighborhood for his sleuthing, and he gets paid by whatever means people can pay him, including a chicken, a live chicken.
Sure.
Somebody has been knitting in the last book. Somebody's knitting him a reindeer sweater, you know, which of course is really valuable to have in Los Angeles. And so on. So it's really interesting, but it's not buffoonery at all.
Yeah.
He deals with very, very serious topics, war crimes, sexual slavery, human trafficking, drugs, gangs, you know. And they're not done, you know, in an offhanded way. He's very serious, as well as being truly introspective. Every program at Literary Southwest, we hand out a little program, and I always try and find an excerpt to include in that program that seems to kind of crystallize what the author's voice is. And the one that I used this time is from the second book called Righteous, and it's just so thoughtful in thinking about loss. And even though there's a little humor that he tacks on in this little excerpt, but it's just beautiful, beautiful writing.
Mm-hmm. Jim, now you are also the co-founder of the indie publishing house Conflux Press, correct?
Correct, yes.
And as every struggling writer knows, writing the book is one thing, but then you have to market it. Now you've got a really interesting background because you were an executive for National Football League properties, correct?
Correct, yes, in Los Angeles.
What lessons did you learn with NFL properties that helped you market someone's books?
Well, we don't do a lot of marketing. It's really up the way we're structured. We're not a mainstream press. We're a custom publisher. So basically, if your manuscript is of a certain caliber, we will put our expertise behind it and give you a beautiful book that looks as good, if not better, than books you'll find in Peregrine, for example. And we work with our clients to accomplish that, and we really think of our process, at least with our clients, as a collaboration to get this. But the marketing, because there's just my wife Tanya and I, Tanya being the graphic design talent and a handmade book artist that, I mean, she's done some classes even at the Yavapai College Library when we lived there. And between the two of us, we don't have all that time to market. Plus, we're often dealing with people's first books. Mm-hmm. And when you run a first book, you don't want too many copies. You're not going to run 1,000 or 2,000 copies because they're just too hard to sell. And the last thing we want is for our authors to have a garage full of cartons. And so what we do is we specialize in shorter runs, say 200 books. And that way, and it's so easy nowadays with digital printing to go back on press and get more. It takes like 2 weeks.
Wow.
So it's, you know, once the files are created, we can just go back and recreate them, and hopefully our authors will be actively involved in promoting their work. They have to do exactly what I have to do. I have to go out and read.
Sure.
So people know the book's out there. I don't have Random House behind me.
Yeah.
And in fact, most authors, even Random House authors, don't have that huge publicity machine behind them anymore. It's very different than it used to be.
Sure. And I'm sure you can understand how a screenwriter who hits it really, really big with a first screenplay that makes a couple hundred million dollars in profit is told by the studio, that was a great piece of work. Now do a sequel. When the original story was percolating in him for 30 years, and now he's got to come up with something new. Not that easy, is it?
No, it's not. In fact, I remember one of our authors who many of your listeners might know, Craig Johnson, who writes the Longmire series and became a TV show. I remember when he was there, at Literary Southwest about 5 years ago, he talked about that and about how he wrote his first book, and I think it's Another Man's Mock. No, it's called No Good Deed. About relating to, it's either No Good Deed or something about revenge is a dish best served cold, but whatever the title, he talked about writing that book, and it had, you know, Sheriff Longmire in it. And he figured, okay, now it's time to move on, and he wrote a second book that had nothing to do with it. It's the book he wanted to write. Yeah, it's called The Cold Dish, I just remembered. Okay. Anyway, he wrote the second book that he wanted to write. And he sent it to his agent and to the publisher, and the publisher said, no, we don't want this. We want a second Longmire book.
Oh.
And by now, what is he, in his 20th book or something? Oh. You know, they didn't want anything to do with it. But it's like Hollywood, where these directors have to establish themselves with hit movies so that they can do the pet projects. They have enough credibility and box office clout with the studios to do the movies they want to make.
Just like the rest of American business, you do what you have to do so you can eventually do what you want to do, correct?
Exactly. And you hopefully get to do what you want to do.
And tell us how our listeners can learn more about the Literary Southwest series and what's coming up Friday and Saturday.
Okay, well, you can check out the Literary Southwest on the Yavapai College webpage if you just go to the Yavapai College webpage and just Google or just enter in the search for Literary Southwest. Our page will pop and you'll see full bios of our authors and in fact we even have a list of every author who's ever read there over the 10 years of the series. And you'll see our author who was supposed to read in February, Janet Fitch.
Oh, yeah.
It mentions, well, of course, that was the week of the enormous snowstorm.
Yes, it was enormous.
And it was the first time in 10 years we had to cancel an event. Yeah. But then basically the whole city got canceled, so I didn't feel so bad. But the I'm happy to say that Janet was very flexible and wonderful about it. And so she's rescheduled now, and she'll be our first reader in the fall. She'll be back in September.
As always, Jim, we thank you for joining us on Q&A. Have a great weekend in Prescott, and best of luck with your continued publishing.
Oh, thank you so much, DJ.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
That is Jim Natal with a Literary Southwest series coming again this weekend, not only to Yavapai College, but also to Peregrine Books. Stay tuned. I've got Paul and Shirley Baskin in the house to talk about raising money for your nonprofit. That's on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and streaming live at kqna.com.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec B Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
In order to better serve the Quad Cities, Bradshaw Family Dental is growing. The amazing dental teams of Bradshaw Family Dental and Grand Canyon Dental have joined forces. Dr. Sir and his team are so excited to join the Bradshaw family, now with an office conveniently located at 172 East Merritt Street in Prescott and offices in Surprise, Chino Valley, and Prescott Valley. Bradshaw Family Dental is right around the corner. To book an appointment, give them a call at 277-0076 or online at bradshawfamilydental.com.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Unlimited data from Cable One means limitless possibilities. Get up to 100 megs for just $45 a month for 6 months and upgrade to unlimited data for one fixed price. Call 855-808-2737 for fast, reliable internet. 100 megs for just $45 a month for 6 months. Call Cable One at 855-808-2737 for details. Restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Home Show Sandy with YCCA.
And I'm Nick with Arizona Hot Tub.
You put the awe in spa.
Come and see our spas at the YCCA Home Show May 17th, 18th, and 19th at Finlay Toyota Center.
Oh, that's right, Nick. Arizona Hot Tubs will be there.
We love the YCCA Home Show.
YCCA Home Show sponsored by Finlay Toyota Prescott and Waste Management.
See you there.
Provide value. That's what a CPA can do for you. Hi, this is David A. Snyder, CPA. Now is a great time of year for business valuations. Valuations are for providing a value for your business so you can retire from it, sell it, or expand it. With my ex-military, task-oriented mindset, and over 20 years of experience, you can trust that you can get the most accurate business valuation. Give me a call or visit DavidASnyderCPA.com for more information. You deserve the sharpest in Arizona. David A. Snyder, CPA.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Well, as everyone knows, there's a whole bunch of nonprofits and charities that locate here in the Prescott area. We have a couple of people here who are really in a position to help them. It's called Grants to You, and we have Shirley and Paul Baskin here to talk about that. Let me start with Shirley. Shirley, first of all, what is Grants to You all about?
Well, that's Paul's question.
Okay, Paul,
answer,
you want to go ahead
so
and answer
I
that?
I would prefer to have him answer it.
Sure.
Thank you.
Grants to You was formed in 2001.
And, Paul, let me have you pull that microphone over there. We'll use that one instead, if you don't mind.
No problem.
There you go.
Does
that's
that work
better.
Now?
That is better. Thank you.
Grants to You was formed by myself, actually, in 2001 after a really excellent and lucky career change, and I got involved in nonprofits. And seemed to me, when I lived in Ventura, California, it seemed to me that there were a whole lot of nonprofits looking for volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
It also seemed to me there were a whole lot of retired people, mainly men, that's what I thought at the time,
sure,
who were sitting on the couch watching Judge Judy and dying to do something with all that 40 years of experience.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things led me to feel like we could start something that trained these guys who were watching Judge Judy to help a nonprofit.
You know, it's funny you mention that, Paul, because here in this area, I've interviewed so many people who thought they moved here to retire, and then they found a passion, and they found themselves able to give of their time very, very generously, and they love what they're doing. And, you know, it's like my hero Johnny Carson used to say at his old high school commencement, don't ever try and make a career out of something you don't like doing, because if you make a career doing something you love, you'll never have to work a day in your life.
Yes,
still true?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So how do you go about helping these nonprofits? What, first of all, they need funds to operate.
Correct.
And how do you help them get that?
We say to them, if you will let us know what you need,
mm-hmm,
we promote our classes and we'll promote your nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
Or then the volunteer will come to us and say, I want to help XYZ. And we'll say, come on, take the class, and you can help XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, your listeners are listening, that since 2001, our volunteers have won $4.1 million.
Holy smokes. So, Shirley, maybe you can tell us, what are you doing that these nonprofits up to this point have not been doing?
We're teaching their volunteers how to research and write grants so that they can secure funds to operate the nonprofit.
And by what means are they, I don't want to say coming up short, but obviously creating a nonprofit and doing what they do is one thing, but finding the funding is something completely different sometimes, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and that's why we feel we're providing an additional service, because nonprofits, of course, they go out and have fundraisers and things like that, and mm-hmm. donors. That's nice. But they need to have someone who is focusing on actually finding funds for that particular nonprofit.
And I would imagine, too, with your experience in this, you know the avenues, you know the paperwork, you know who to talk to, correct?
Well, we have teachers in our classes. The teacher knows that.
Mm-hmm.
We know the big picture. The teacher knows these places fund this kind of nonprofit or this kind of activity.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we teach the students who come to our classes, to look for specific grantors who will fund whatever it is their nonprofit needs. And then they learn how to look, and then they learn how to write grants for that particular function.
And Shirley, you're the chapter coordinator and a board member, correct?
Yes, sir.
And Paul, you're the president, is that correct?
Correct.
Now, how many chapters are there, and how widespread are they?
There are three at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
One is in California, Ventura County. Another is in Saratoga Springs, New York. That's where the horses run.
Mm-hmm.
And then one here. We also have potential chapters. One in Pleasanton, California. Tell me the others, I've forgotten.
And let's see.
South Carolina.
Charleston, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And also we're looking at Riverside, California.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned the amount of money that you've helped them raise. What are the goals established by the board? And tell me about your scholarship program and chapter expansion.
Okay. Well, the board goal is to expand the Grants to You chapters throughout mm-hmm. the country. And as we just said, we're looking to expand now because mm-hmm. we have three successful chapters. And we're looking at three more. And hopefully, we'll continue to do that, because that's mm-hmm. what's one of the goals of the board.
Shirley and I actually are going to Pleasanton, flying to Pleasanton, and we're going to meet their team. They have a fantastic team of people who are members of a big nonprofit,
okay.
100 of them.
Good.
So they're very positive about taking over and starting that chapter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, we're
okay.
looking forward to meeting those people, because they're very successful and they like what we do. So
mm-hmm.
that's great. And then you were asking about our scholarship program.
Yeah.
So this is a new function that the board has decided to make as a goal. And our scholarship program is made possible by a grant from Wells Fargo Bank. And they have been supporting our efforts in many different ways since 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Your listeners may want to know how to qualify for a scholarship, so mm-hmm. I'm going to tell them how to do that.
Good.
The qualifications are physically disabled or unemployed or underemployed or receiving unemployment pay or seeking new skill sets for potential employment. So those are the qualifications to get a scholarship. And if someone is interested, then they need to go to our website, and the website is grants2u.org, and on there it'll tell you how to get the scholarship, because you can't do the straightforward stuff. You have to go to someone in that chapter,
mm-hmm.
Paul, for instance, or me.
Paul, tell me what some of the challenges facing nonprofits are. Let me explain why I ask. Everyone knows how difficult it is to create and maintain a profitable business. What are some of the challenges facing a nonprofit to stay afloat?
Well, first of all, let's look at a nonprofit's office. What does it look like?
Low budget.
It's a desk.
Maybe.
With a big trash can.
Yeah.
And somebody's got to empty that trash can.
Sure.
Now, the guy sitting at the desk or the lady, they don't really want to do that, but they know they have to.
Sure.
They're running everything, and they're doing the trash and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
The thing they don't have time for is really time-consuming, and that's grant writing and grant research. So we said again, I said to myself, why can't we help those people? We might not be able to help a very large nonprofit because they employ these folks.
Sure.
But our guys work for nothing. And when I said we won $4.1 million, that's nationwide. Here in Yavapai County, we earned $1.446 million mm-hmm. just in that one chapter. So everything's coming back to us, but nothing comes back to our budget, our treasury. We get $0. The people pay for the class.
Yeah.
That goes to pay the teacher. We get nothing. Because that's our goal.
That truly is a labor of love, isn't it?
Get our goal and get these people grant writers,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and it works.
How much of your work is spent on making sure that they enjoy all the possible tax benefits of being tax exempt?
It's not something we play with, the 501c3.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that we teach or that we mess around with other than to say that a 501c3 has certain benefits. It's an IRS-indicated nonprofit, approved nonprofit, mm-hmm. which allows it to raise money.
Sure.
And people who want to raise money sometimes don't do it with anybody who's not a 501c3. Mm-hmm. We are a 501c3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is a pain in the neck to get that, but it's well worth it.
And you know how to go about that, don't you?
It's a process.
And that's what I was getting at before. I didn't word it very well. But the process, you guys understand from all your experience, right? But that can be, I would imagine, awfully time-consuming for a very small nonprofit, correct?
Absolutely.
You can take that burden off of them, can't you?
Well, starting with the 501c3 question,
sure.
When you look at the forms that are filled out, it's one after the other. Answer that question. Do it this way. Answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
And grant writing is very much the same thing.
Oh.
They want to hear what you have to say based mm-hmm. on the question they give you, not one that you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Like you and I are talking now. You want me to talk about something. I'll do it. But I really have other stuff to talk about. But that's
sure.
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and they don't want a story. No. When you're writing a grant, when you're looking to find some funds for a nonprofit,
mm-hmm.
exactly what Paul said. This is the question, give the answer. This is mm-hmm. the question, give the answer. Don't write them a story.
Yeah.
I mean, some people say, well, I'm not a writer. Well, we don't care. You don't have to be a writer. You just have to be able to find the words, you know, English words generally, to answer the questions that the grantor is asking. And
mm-hmm.
that's all they want.
So tell us about your online classes.
We have two types of online classes right now. One is the reading class, which means we have 12-chapter class. It has the same content as our live classes. And it's a reading class, but like a book. It's a really good book. So that's one type. And the second one right now is a DVD.
Mm-hmm.
People can send for the DVD. They can play it when they want to. It's actually a live class that was photographed, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two. They cost less than our regular classes. They're $25, and they're excellent. We are in the process of improving the quality of these things and understanding more about how people go to school today. And we've got to do that. We have mm-hmm. to do that ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're not there yet, but, again, we don't charge very much money. So
sure.
We're going to work at it until we get there.
Do you have any favorite success stories so far?
Goodness gracious.
Well, How much time do you have?
I will tell you this much. The largest grant that we have ever received is $1.5 million.
Holy smokes.
And it was for the...
Saratoga.
Saratoga. It was the mm-hmm. Cultural Language and Resource Center. The name of the people that got the money paid by the New York National Department of Defense and Education, $1.5 million. Our next biggest one was a medical school in Rwanda, and we got a $500,000 grant. When I say we, I mean one of our people who took our class.
Sure.
Now think about it. It's only an 8.5 hour class.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think that could happen, right? But it's true.
Yeah.
It works. It actually works if you understand the process, and our teachers do understand the process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those are two examples. United Way of Santa Cruz won $350,000. The person who won it actually won it here, but then she moved.
Oh.
But it counts.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. And you might want to know how we count it. We have people like Shirley who make phone calls,
mm-hmm.
and they go 1 year back from when a person graduated, and they ask them some key questions like, have you written any grants? How many? What kind? What'd you win? How much money? Who gave it to you? And we end up putting that back into the system, automated, and we get it right here. I see it.
Yeah, cool.
Wow. So what's the date and location of your next live class?
Okay, my question here. Okay, so the dates of our next live classes are April 27 and May 4.
Mm-hmm.
And you should attend both classes.
And they're where?
And it starts at 8:30 until 12:30 each day. And they are going to be held at Mountain Valley Regional Rehabilitation Hospital at 3700 North Windsong in Prescott Valley.
That's our friend Karen Russell's building.
Yes.
She'll be here next week, in fact.
Oh, great. Yes. Well, we're so happy that we have a wonderful classroom there.
Mm-hmm.
And would you like me to tell me what the class is going to...
Please do, yes.
Okay. So these are basic classes. You know, you're not going to be a grant writer for $2,450,000 right off the bat.
But if ever.
These are basic classes. So they include how to research for grant sources. So that's one thing. And you have to look for those sources that would support whatever your nonprofit does.
Mm-hmm.
What's their mission? And then, after you've done that, then how to write a grant asking for that funding. Those are the two things that you're going to learn when mm-hmm. you take these classes. Now, the class is nearly full for the 27th and May 4th. So if you are interested and you really want to do it, go online, grants2u.org, and register for the class. And if you need some further information, or if you've got some questions that we didn't answer today, you can call Shirley, that's me, or Paul.
That's me.
And our number is 928-458-7796 mm-hmm. if you need any information.
And Paul, you mentioned early on you had a very interesting career before this. What career was that?
I worked for the largest manufacturer of machine tools. Largest, you know what a machine tool is?
Yeah, sure.
A gigantic machine that cuts steel
mm-hmm.
into precise pieces, and you end up with great cars and great engines.
Yeah.
It was a $1 billion company. And the good news for me was I got involved in nonprofits because our company decided that I could do that as a side job, go out to the community and help it. So they actually paid me for doing that. I was on 13 boards of directors.
Wow.
And that's when I got to hear about we need volunteers.
Uh-huh.
So Mr. Haas, Gene Haas, has a racing team, by the way. Mr. Haas was very kind to let me go ahead and do that, make a living at it, and help the world be a better place. And I've been doing that since 2001. So I'm not lazy, and I don't watch Judge Judy. I stay busy. I like her, by the way.
You have found a life's labor of love, haven't you?
Absolutely.
But isn't it great to see people benefit from your good work?
You know, it's absolutely great, and particularly when, like, Shirley goes to do her surveying,
mm-hmm.
and she'll go, oh, like that, and I'll say, you found something. I said, yes, this person made $200,000. Tell me some more. And so we get that great feeling.
Oh, sure.
Like we had a baby or something. Yay, mm-hmm. you know, like that. But it's true. It's that amazing. And the people who do these grants, I mean, it's difficult.
Yeah.
They've got to do it. It's time-consuming.
Sure. Yeah. Surely I talk to educators. I'm sure you'll identify with this. I talk to educators all the time on this show, and I ask them, I say, tell me about a moment when a student that you were working with every day that was so difficult, they just weren't getting it, and then all of a sudden it clicked. You saw the light bulb come on. How enriching is that? And they would all say, that's why we do this. Yeah. Does that sound familiar?
Absolutely, it does. And I was an educator for many years. I started in high school, and then I went to a community college, and then I went to a four-year college, and then I went into administration. And when I got done with that, I retired. And then I said, oh, I never taught in elementary school. So then I did some substituting in elementary school. And it doesn't matter what level.
Yeah.
There's always that wonderful moment when all of a sudden somebody says,
that's
yay,
what it is.
I got
now
it.
I get it.
I got it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh,
what
I've
were you,
got
What
it.
Were you teaching all those years?
I was a business education teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... It's certainly changed over the years.
Did you ever hear back years later from a student you had helped?
Absolutely.
Doesn't that
Absolutely.
Just make your day?
It was just fabulous. Some of them who didn't have any interest in going to college from high school, for instance, but they learned a lot of skills in high school and taking business classes, and they would go off and get some job, and they a couple of them would come back and they'd say, I got this fabulous job. I said, well, how'd you do that? They said, well, we went to your class.
There you are. Isn't that wonderful?
Wonderful.
I want to point out
wonderful.
To the listeners that this class that we offer is for beginners.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely a huge difference between beginning people and already trained people. We had a person on our board for a while, Rose. She only did grants that were government-based, starting at $100,000.
Whoa.
That's big time. That's not what we teach.
Mm-hmm.
No.
That's not what we're after. But sometimes, and you can see by the money I was talking about, sometimes somebody takes that one class and they're inspired, or sometimes they're professors or they're presidents of companies or whatever, and they are excited about what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Right. And one thing that we do, I do, well, most of us, but I try to encourage the nonprofit to send us a couple of people to the class, and then they can work with each other because beginners, you know, they need a little help.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes one person is good at this and another person is good at that. And if you have a couple of them working together, they really can bring their skills together and probably do a better, wider job than only
delegating.
Yay!
In our last class, we had six people from one nonprofit. It was a rescue deal.
Yeah. Nice. Dog rescue place.
Six people from one place. Yeah. That's really forward thinking.
Yeah. So how can our listeners register and contact you for questions?
Okay. You can register if you go to our website called Grants, GRANTSTOYOU.org. And when you go there, it'll show you live classes and this and that. So you just click on the proper places, and it will ask you questions. One thing that you should know before you start your registration is a contact for the nonprofit you're supporting.
Mm-hmm.
The person's name, a telephone number, or an email address, or both. So because what happens, the reason we need that, is because once the person has taken the class, the nonprofit gets an automatic email saying, this person has registered for our class, and they are going to come and help you. If you have any objections, let us know before they start. But
indeed.
How many people had objections?
I've never found one.
One.
A one?
Must
oh,
be, must
one.
Be doing it right. Well, it's great to hear from Paul and Shirley Baskin for Grants to You. I'm going to close with one more comment, Shirley, if I may. And again, you'll identify with this. When I was in the first grade, you know, 1,000 years ago, I had a teacher who I thought was probably 100 years old.
Of course.
And then, what was this, 50 years later, I was watching television at home, and I saw her. She was featured on a special report on volunteers. She was volunteering at a local hospital at the age of 103. Now, you tell me that helping people is in her blood. She taught for 60 years, and then at 103, she was volunteering in a hospital. It takes a special breed, doesn't it?
It absolutely does.
And
absolutely
we are so glad that you and Paul are helping so many people. Thanks for joining us
on
Q&A. Stay tuned. It's time for a check of local and state news and weather, and then we'll come back with some final thoughts and tomorrow's guests on Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and we stream live around the world at kqna.com.
At Nationwide Vision, you can get prescription sunglasses starting at just $99. Now also serving you in select JCPenney locations. Call 1-800-EYE-CARE or visit nationwidevision.com to schedule your appointment today.
Hey, y'all, it's Rosie. Here's what's cooking on the next Rosie on the House.
After looking into materials for countertops and backsplashes, we look at another hard surface that you use every day and makes a big impression. Flooring. The benefits of backyard chickens for your own urban farm. Our how-to on pressure washing. And a college for horse racing right here in Arizona. So start your weekend at our house.
Rosie on the House, Saturday morning, 9 to 11 on 95.5, 99.9, and AM 1130 KQNA.
Patriot Disposal is a local expanding company asking you to join our team. Patriot Disposal offers on-site training for a variety of jobs, including Class A or B CDL, heavy equipment operators, mechanic, welding, and sort line operators. Office positions available for customer service, bookkeeper, and human resources. For competitive pay and benefits, call, click, or come visit our office. Positions available at all our locations, Prescott Valley, Dewey, Cottonwood, and Rimrock. Patriot Disposal, 775-9000 or 203-9995.
There's no sweeter time than spring to drive home in a new vehicle from Lamb Nissan. Hello, this is Ed Walsh. Get over 15% off MSRP on one of the best-selling SUVs in America, the 2019 Nissan Rogue all-wheel drive for only $23,872. Looking for a midsize pickup? Check out the 2019 Nissan Frontier priced as low as $21,263. The clock is also running out on the last of our 2018 Nissans left in inventory. Get over $4,000 off MSRP on the 2018 Kicks, priced at only $15,998 and over $8,000 off MSRP on the 2018 Nissan Maxima. Visit LambNissan.com for a sweet deal on your new Nissan and come see why so many people come from Phoenix to buy a car in Prescott. Lamb Nissan, we're here to serve.
Number KN706098, JL522416, JC396428. Price includes all manufacturer rebates plus tax, title, license, dealer, doc fee, and $385.3 in package. Number KC742970, plus finance with NMAC OAC, expires 4/30/2019.
This is Councilman Steve Sishka. The city of Prescott is a water-smart community, and outdoor watering habits make a big difference. Please remember that time-of-day watering restrictions are in effect from April 15th through November 1st, so don't forget to water your yard between 8 at night and 8 in the morning. This saves water for Prescott and is the most efficient time to water your landscaping. Thank you for doing your part to live water-smart. For more information on water conservation, please visit www.prescottwater.com.
At Nationwide Vision, you can get two pairs of eyeglasses for just $99.99. Now also serving in select JCPenney locations. Call 1-800-EYE-CARE or visit nationwidevision.com to schedule your appointment today. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Hey, before we hit that local and state news and weather, I want to remind you, tonight's Wednesday Night Classic at the Prescott Elks Theater is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It screens at 7 p.m. on the big screen. You'll see the movie debuts of several really successful Hollywood character actors, including Danny DeVito, Christopher Lloyd, and Vincent Schiavelli, as well as Brad Dourif, all of whom played patients in the Chronics Ward alongside several actual mental health patients at the Oregon State Hospital. Now, ironically, Louise Fletcher, who won the Oscar for Best Actress for playing the evil Nurse Ratched, was pretty much forgotten by Hollywood after that movie. But DeVito, Lloyd, Schiavelli, and Dourif got a whole lot of work. Now, tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. at the Harkins in Prescott Valley is the grand premiere of Avengers Endgame with an all-star cast of superheroes. You'll hear my review of Avengers Endgame tomorrow evening on KQ. Q&A. How big is Avengers Endgame? Well, it's screening 21 times Friday at the Harkin. Stay tuned now for that check of local and state news and weather on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley, and Cottonwood, streaming live at KQNA.com.
Are you looking for the perfect place to get all your printing done? Whether it's preserving precious family photos or vinyl graphics for your work truck, A&E Reprographics has you covered as your local one-stop print shop. Having served Northern Arizona for over 15 years, our customer service is unparalleled as we take care of both your personal and professional printing jobs. From brochures to baby shower invites, A&E Reprographics is your one-stop print shop.
We're KQ&A.
Thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, your choice for your Wednesday the 24th. I'm DJ Phone with a check of local and state news and weather together, brought to you by Wallach and Volk. A Will Hoyt man has been arrested for murder after he allegedly killed his roommate.
Yavapai County Sheriff's deputies were dispatched to a home on Highway 89 in Will Hoyt. It's involving 68-year-old Terry Engel.
Engel shot a dog and then stabbed himself while inside his home. Engel, who uses a wheelchair, told family members he wanted to die.
Yavapai County Sheriff's Office spokesman Dwight Dievlin describes
Engel had shot his roommate and two dogs. When deputies arrived, they were able to detain Engel without incident and confirm Engel's roommate had been shot and died. Both dogs were also killed.
The victim hasn't been identified. Engel is facing charges of homicide, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, arson, criminal damage, and animal cruelty. I'm Link Elliott reporting.
Sunny today and into and through your KQ&A weather weekend, with highs today near 76 in Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey-Humboldt. Tomorrow and a very windy Friday near 80, blowing in a back-to-work cool down with highs in the upper 60s by Monday, chilling after bedtime tonight to a mostly clear 51. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, a sunny high today near 87, cooling to a mostly clear 53 overnight, warming to a sunny 89 tomorrow and Friday, Monday's highs in the upper 70s. This news and weather, a service of Wallach and Volk. I'm DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 and 95.5 FM, KQ&A. Like us on Facebook and listen live worldwide at KQ&A.com and stay tuned. Q&A will continue in just a moment.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec V Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at HICountryRVCenter.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
You know, with all the news the last week or so about the terrible fire at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, there are a few facts about that cathedral I bet you didn't know. Well, the wonderful folks at Mental Floss Magazine have released some very interesting historic facts. For one thing, a pagan city lies below the cathedral. The Ile de la Cité, on which the Notre Dame de Paris now stands, was once a Gallo-Roman city known as Lutetia. The cathedral may have been built right over the remnants of a temple. Around 1710, pieces of a sculpted altar dedicated to Jupiter and other deities were discovered during an excavation under the choir. Also, there's some recycled architecture on its facade. There are three portals on the western facade of Notre Dame, each laden with sculpted saints and sacred scenes. One doesn't seem to fit, however. It It's the Portal San N. It has a much earlier style than the rest. Its figures, such as the Central Virgin and Child, look stiffer in their poses and less natural in their features compared to the other statues. That's because this tympanum, or semicircular area of decoration, was recycled from a previous Romanesque church. A close examination back in 1969 revealed it was not originally made for that space and has been adapted to fit the Gothic structure. Also, there's a forest in its roof. The cathedral contains one of the oldest surviving wood timber frames in Paris, involving around 52 acres of trees that were cut down in the 12th century. Each beam was made from an individual tree, and for that reason, the lattice work of historic woodwork was nicknamed the forest. And finally, as you no doubt saw because of the architectural feature, the flying buttresses were Gothic trendsetters. The cathedral was one of the earliest structures built with exterior flying buttresses. They were constructed around its nave in the 12th century. To lend support to the thin walls after the need for more light in the incredibly tall church required larger windows and thus greater supports. The exposed flying buttresses became an iconic aspect of Gothic design, and although there is some debate even to this day over whether Notre Dame was the first church to have them, they certainly set the trend in sacred architecture. And, fun fact, 28 of its kings lost their heads in the French Revolution. Oh, the history of France. Well, we want you to stay tuned now for Ben Shapiro at 3, and then Diamondbacks baseball live from Pittsburgh at 4 o'clock. They've won the first two. They're going for the third win today. They have baseball tomorrow morning at 9:30 with the first pitch. Then join me right back here tomorrow at 2 with my guest Neil Sneller from Touchmark, upscale Hilltop Living and Fine Dining at the Finn, and director Kathy Hahn with actress Kelsey Clare from the upcoming PCA Stage 2 production of Wait Until Dark. That's Q&A Thursday at 2, when I'll see you on the radio.
Been listening to Q&A on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by Yavapai Regional Medical Center, Northern Arizona Vein Center, Prescott Chamber of Commerce, High Country Rec V Center, and David Snyder, CPA. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Q&A with DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 FM Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.